Hello everyone. Glad to be here on this stage. This is the finally I got to this stage. I already was on a couple of years ago in the gallery and the seminar room, and finally made it to this big stage. So welcome. And so first thing, what I would like to tell is who am I and why. Maybe you should listen to me. So I'm a software engineer at SUSE. Currently, I'm working on a SUSE manager or in a community version known as Uni, and also on Iguana, which I will be talking about today. If you want to reach me, you can use either my email at SUSE or my GitHub account, which is a little more difficult to pronounce, but at least it's unique. So let me start with some basic questions, like why Iguana? Why this even was created? Why we come with this system? It all begins last year on this conference, where we were full of enthusiasm about ALP and all of the things related to it and all the possibilities, what can it bring to it. So we did a little brainstorming about the problems we are facing and how we maybe solve it. So we looked at the time on the installing the system, because there was a lot of uncertainty. You know, install it using the old way RPMs, you install it with the images or whatever new version. And our goal on the top layer was to install an operating system which will be universally used for whatever reasons. So our goal was to fulfill some requirements of some undisclosed generic universal system. Then we had another problem to solve, and this is that we have different hardware types. We have different CPU architectures, and even on the one architecture, we have different appliances or different interfaces to bring on. So this is another thing which some generic installer needs to be able to solve. Furthermore, we had a deployment problem. As I was telling before, you can install using the packages, you can install by deploying the images or whatever another reason. And the last thing is some kind of the installer security of itself, to being able to update the installer, how we add security patches to the installer. And all of this is, of course, fulfilled also by Yast installer, the well-known Yast installer, who can all of this do this. But there was one problem with it. And this is that when you needed some change in there, that was also a big round trip. It was going through to one team. You had to open bug report, wait for something. Basically, the cycle was quite long, and you also wanted to shorten this. So we came up with Iguana. So what is it actually? What is it, and why the hell it is called Iguana? So the last question is easy. Iguana because it's a lizard. And fun fact, Iguana, I proposed Iguana first to be a deinstaller, but deinstaller guys were too slow to decide, so I took Iguana for my project, and now deinstaller is Agama. So I got the I in the instead of installer. So Iguana, in the like concrete sense or the physical implementation, is Initari or InitramFS. I know that Initari and InitramFS are technically not the same thing, but I am using it interchangeably here. So it is Initari or InitramFS, together with tight kernel, of course. But it also is some kind of container execution environment. Why containers? Well, first of all, it's a good buzzword. And second of all, in Iguana, I'm using containers in the sense, but they weren't meant to be used. Now, when the containers were introduced, it was like isolation and security, some level of security, and so on. And it was not to be used as a distribution method. But there is also whole infrastructure about it to be able to distribute the containers, of course. Being an initRD, an installer initRD, I can't do an isolation in the containers. So the container has full access to everything. So there is no isolation, nothing. But I am using the distribution part. So I am distributing all the software using containers to be able to do, to run it in this initRD. And with this with Iguana, I am configuring this runtime in such a way so I can do this. And the last part, what Iguana is also some kind of contract or some kind of protocol or interface between the container and the initRD and what we expect from it. Because at the end, our result is to have installed and configured system. So of course, the containers need to prepare it somehow, install the system, and prepare it in such a way that Iguana then understands it and can boot it and continue booting and so on. So how we did it, how we implemented it, and what is current state of implementation. So Iguana is made of a couple of different components. First, we have a Dragquit module. Then we have something which understands some description how the what container should be downloaded and how it should be used. And the last thing, we have the actual installation containers. If you look at the Dragquit module, every touch Dragquit, you know that Dragquit has different hooks. So Iguana is basically a a pre-mount hook. Everything is running just before mounting a root file system and switching over to it. But the Dragquit module is not only the script, but also a setup script which gathers all the requirements and all the dependencies and sort of it. So Iguana takes dependencies, so we are able to run containers in it. It's to ease the development. Currently, it's using a podman. That means it pulls podman into the initRD. It is making the initRD quite heavy because podman is 40 megabytes. So immediately, we are 40 megabytes more in the initRD. I have some development branches where I am running run C instead of this because run C is like megabyte or something like that, and Scopio for images where Scopio is like 20 megabytes, something like that. But it's not yet matched. It's maybe a plan for the future. This is the part with gathering the required dependencies. And the actual execution during the Dragquit is preparing all the environments. There are some specifics when you are running containers in initRD, initramfs. Kernel knows that you are running initrfs, initramfs, and this allows you doing some things. For example, you can't use pivot root, which is used by default. You have to use switch root for the container, so you need to disable it. There is some using overlay fs, overlay driver for containers, and some a bunch of other things which we need to configure, so we are able to run containers there. And then it passes the execution to this execution module, which executes the workflow. That we'll talk about it later. And the last thing is to understand the results of the installation, to see how it's what was installed or where it was installed, whether it can continue booting, whether it can you need to do kiexec and so on. Because in this case, initRD is running with some kernel version. You can install product with some completely different version, so you can't just switch root and continue. You need to detect if you need to switch kiexec. Or in case, for example, full disk encryption, when we just reboot because we don't have passwords and we don't have so for safe reasons we just reboot the system and you continue from that. And It also, if there are some containers which are not completely adapted, it can also detect root files, root, what is the root. It is using the UIDs specified by systemd people about the well-known partition types. So it has some code, so we detect what is the root and switch over to it and so on, if it's not provided by the container. Okay, so that was a Dracut module. Now about the workflow. So workflow, it's a smallish Rust binary which understands some YAML files basically and executes the containers of what's described in these YAML files. It pulls and in the future to validate the images using cosine and something like that to that it's that they are not that they are not tampered with. And it does it for services and jobs. This is so when you, if you have some installation job which is which requires some more routines to run or some other containers to run at the same time. So the difference between them, we have a job container which is the main thing which we are tracking, and some service containers which are in the backend doing some service jobs. This execution is all controlled by the YAML file, by the control file, I will show in a moment. And the last thing it does is the cleanup. This is because we are in everything is running in a memory. So it's if you have some big containers, it can take quite a big RAM. So we need to be careful with it. And with the Iguana, you can have multiple jobs. For example, one job will do the partitioning. Second job, that means second container, will do the installing or deploying the image. Third job, third container can do some modifications of an installed system. It's up to you. So after each of these jobs, there is a cleanup which removes the downloaded image. And basically, that's it. How it looks like? I don't know if you can see it, but there is usually something like name and description you can have. And then you have jobs. This is inspired, loosely inspired by how GitHub workflows look like. There you have jobs as well, but this is what I need to modify it, so it's not 100% same. Then you have name of the job, the container, and the registry or the image which should it should download. And you can have some volumes and some bunch of other things, environmental variables set up here and, as well. What you don't have here is any actual command to execute it. I prepared, but never implemented it, some option to run a command, but I am not completely sure if it's a good idea, because this is file which is usually you can download it from or you can provide a URL to a GitHub or somewhere and it Iguana will execute it. I was not sure if someone will because modifying just one file is easier than intercepting a container and so on. So so far it's not implemented. So you need to take care that if you are using containers somewhere. The entry point there has to be a default command which is executed. You can and do the job. If you look at the Agama, which is capable, which is able to run on top of Iguana, there is a special in the entry point file. There is a detection that we are in Iguana, and if we are Iguana, it automatically starts in daemon mode and wait for the daemon to finish and so on. And of course, the volumes we have. This is this thing is actually a working example how how Agama is started, and what it needs to be, how it should be presented. Here's the service containers. It downloads it and starts them before it starts the main container. So these are running. This is something you need to take care of, keep in mind, of course. Because if service containers needs something from main container, then you need to switch them up to be incorrect. So there are not some failures because of dependencies. And yes, basically, that's the YAML file. And the last thing, which is doing the actual job, are the installation containers bundles. This is my made up word or made up name. The installation container bundle is basically a combination of the container and the Iguana workflow file. The workflow file we saw before, and installation container. Now, why am I calling it installation container? It's because there are some assumptions or expectations in difference to normal container. Sure, it's normal OCI or Docker container because it's running Podman, so Podman can run them. You probably expect that there should be some application or something which is doing the job. But every installation container is running in privileged mode with host networking. So that means the host networking is not namespaced. Networking is the correct. And privileged, so you have access to hardware, you can load kernel modules and whatever. So, and you get the volumes and the mounts from what you specify in the workflow file. And all of these containers have Iguana volume, Iguana shared volume. This is shared across all of these containers. So if you need to talk between containers, in case of Iguana, they have a dbus socket, which is inside this file. It's in the different volume, that's true. But you can add it into this directory and communicate across the containers. And you can count on it that it will be there. And once the container's finished, only the job container, the main job, our Iguana will automatically stop all the service containers. You don't have to care of it. And when the last job of the workflow file finished, Iguana kind of expects that there is a mount list here, unless you use the detection of the root file system by the UID. In the mount list, you specify the device, the mount point, if you have more, if you need more, and mount options. And Iguana initRD will then mount it and continue with it based on this. There must be, if it's used, this file, slash sysroot, which is the new root to what will switch. This is what is the difference between normal container and an installation container, because installation container needs to do this. Okay, and so how do I actually can use it? That's a good question. There are first where I can get it. So the source code is in a GitHub in the OpenSUSE Iguana repository, and the packages are available in the Yast Head Iguana project on the OBS. And in this OBS repository, you will see three packages. One is named Iguana. This is when you don't want to use Iguana in some bigger project, but you want to use Iguana in standalone. It will install two files into user share Iguana, and it will install kernel and initRD interface. Then you can use these files in either Pixi or direct kernel boot or whatever other option is there. And the only thing you need to provide is the kernel command line for the Iguana. Iguana is using prefix rd.iguana. For now, we have control URL and containers, debug, and so on. So here in the example, you can see how you can start agama from just using this. So if you take those two files from here and put this to the kernel command line, you start the machine, it will start the Agama installer. One drawback, Agama containers do not have a graphical interface yet. So if you use Agama ISO, Live ISO, then you will get the Firefox window and so on. If you use containers through Iguana, this is only for remote installation so far, because yeah, we don't have yet the container needed. I'm working on it. And once the container finishes, it will automatically. Oh, sorry. Yeah, and you just boot the machine and you start the Iguana. Yeah. And the second option, how you can use it, is to install Iguana Dracut, or maybe Dracut Iguana. I am not sure if it's correct. And Iguana workflow packages. Iguana Dracut contains the Dracut module, but it's not inserted automatically if you rebuild your initRD, so you don't break your system. You need to manually add it if you are building your new initRD. So you need to use add Iguana in the Dracut command line. And Iguana workflow is the Rust package for the workflow parsing. If the workflow file is missing, the Dracut will report an error and will not install Iguana. Iguana also pulls network manager and associated modules for it. That means dbus and dbus daemon. So keep that in mind that it will open a new things here. And then you continue the same. You either use Pixie with the new initRD, you used the control file, and so on. And if you run into the problem in a debug, and you want to see what's happening, we have a special RD Iguana debug. This will not enable debug on Dracut side, it will enable only on Iguana. That means Iguana will start logging with everything which is doing. And also, it enables second console, so you can switch to another TTI. And it will not remove the containers once they are finished running. So if you have problems that some container is not behaving as you want, and it's crashing or something like that, it will, in debug mode, it will drop to an emergency shell, or you can use the second console and inspect logs, inspect the containers, what's happening, and so on. Then, of course, you can use RD debug, which enables debug logging for a whole Dracut, but at the same time, the RD debug does not enable Iguana debug. This is made so because sometimes you want to see what's happening, but you want Iguana to clean up the containers. So that's why it's two different things. And last thing, the Iguana containers is, if you don't want to use a workflow file, you can specify the path to the image onto the registry just in the command line option and try one on, for example, like BusyBox and so on. The thing is that when the Iguana starts the job container, it is automatically attached as an interactive container. So if you start a BusyBox container, you can write to it and you will jump to this container. And basically, that is how you use it and how do you work on it. Do you have any questions? There are no questions. I have a question. One of the questions is, what are the drawbacks from this? So there is a problem with the memory consumption you need to take care of. Because for example, if you look at the SLI minimal requirements, it's like 512 megabytes or 1 gigabyte of RAM. With Iguana and Agama, you can't install it. It will crash. So 2 gigabytes is currently the minimum. And that is not including the graphical interface. Of course, there are the options how we can work on the Agama containers, for example, or some other containers. But still, something to take care of. So if you will have some installation container which you'll have like 5 GB, then of course this is all in memory, so you need to take care of it. And another one is yet that there is not any validation so far. So no validation of the containers, and even if you provide HTTPS for the containers, currently there is no certificate inside. So currently it's downloading the workflow file, ignoring the certificate. So not ideal, but this is just a demo. And the last maybe drawbacks, and this is a call for action, is that Iguana is as powerful as installation containers are. Currently we have two. We have Agama, and then we have Saltboot, which is sync for Uni. But it may be not enough. So if anyone is interested, try it, wants to have their own installer method, then feel free to either talk to me or get contact in GitHub here. There is no mailing list. There are discussions in GitHub repo enabled because reasons. Yes, probably my midlife crisis. I don't like all things anymore, so I don't like mailing lists anymore. So that's why the discussions on GitHub. Okay. Yes, there is one question. Yes, good question. I just repeat it, if it's possible to do an offline installation. It's planned, but it's not yet. You can add the Iguama to Kiwi, but you need to manually build the initari somehow. I'm not sure how I can force it in Kiwi. So the installing would be fine to have it on ISO, but we still need to support copied, or use the locally copied images, which is not yet done. So there is a plan to have it, of course. So air-gapped installations should be possible once this is released, but so far only online install. Yes, another question?
Did I understand correctly that you mentioned the keyword kexec earlier? So is it possible, yeah, as part of a workflow to boot into a different kernel and still maintain the workflow history?
Yes. In the one file I didn't mention is when the container finishes, it can also have a file kernel exec, a kernel action. And in there, you can specify what you want to do after the installation is finished. And you can choose between kexec, which is also trying by default, if the kernel version is mismatch, or reboot, or reboot. These are the only two options. So
okay, but only at the end and not in the middle of an Agama process with modules?
At the end of the workflow, yes. Okay. Exactly. There is also one thing that, for example, when you try to build an image from the BCI containers, they do not have kexec inside. And you can't even derive from it, you can't install it for some reason. At least it wasn't available last time I checked. So kexec is done after workflow. Its kexec binary is part of the Iguana. So Iguana is loading the new kernel. And is also doing the kexec at itself.
Do you plan to have configurable URLs for container images? Imagine you have a user having its own local registry and they want to use this one instead of the official one.
Not yet. I was thinking about to have configurable workflow file. I mean, if you have your own if you have your own registry, you will provide your own workflow file when you have link to the correct registry. Okay. Any other question? No, here's in the front.
So why there isn't a graphical interface?
Yeah. because not so far no one did it.
Just could you, the same way you are starting a graphical interface with the Leaf installer, it could be possible to add the Firefox and that stuff on the installer.
Here I'm not saying it's not possible, but we need to have in a container. And I know that there is a, like GDM container or something already present, but the last time I tried it, they were quite heavy to run. And I was also working a little bit more about just using like some minimal valent things like Sway or something like that, and have in one container and then have Firefox in another and just interact with them. But I need to finish this job first. It's not yet ready. But I plan to that eventually we will get there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, any other question? I guess not then. We are just 1 minute past, so I guess that's fine. So thank you very much.